let me just highlight one of those things that you just heard about, and that is our 21 days of prayer. Really excited about that. What day are we in now? 14, day 14. So this is our last week coming up. We'll be concluding that on Saturday. I say concluding, but my goal, my hope is that you'll discover something during these 21 days that will cause you just to go to day 22 and 23 and continue on. The Bible actually says that we're to pray without ceasing. We're to continually be in prayer, and it is a lifestyle. But we actually take a couple of times of the year that we really just focus on prayer, the beginning of the year. And then in the summer, oftentimes we get into a sort of a summer slump, and it's a good time just to renew ourselves and have a spiritual renewal in the middle of summer as we begin to go into fall. Fall is a time of harvest. We're believing for great things. A lot of things are going to be launched in harvest, as you heard our small groups. And so this is just a great time that we have to connect. And I just hope that you're doing that with us. I want to encourage every one of you, listen, be sure and be engaging with us in this time of prayer. And we are doing that by connecting live stream with a parent church who is actually has hundreds of other churches connecting as well across the country during this same time. And that time happens live every morning, Monday through Friday. For us, it is from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Now, you can do that by going to our website, crosspointworshipcenter.com/21days, and there you'll find a link where you can connect live. Now, if 7 o'clock in the morning does not work for you, if you'd rather do 7 o'clock in the evening or another time during the day, also that same location on our website, we also have a link where you can go on there and you can connect with that day's prayer service later on in the day. In other words, that service is recorded for 24 hours. It's archived for 24 hours until the next one comes along, okay? So during that time, you can connect and be a part of that worship service. You'll hear about 10 minutes of just wonderful encouragement about prayer, and then there'll be a time of worship, and then there's 30 minutes of everybody's on your own praying, and you pray over your times of needs. There's music playing during that time, and then a quarter till the hour, we come back together for just corporate prayer together. So it's just a great time. And also on Saturday is the conclusion of this, and that will happen here at Cross Point at 10 o'clock this coming Saturday, and just be a climatic time of getting together and worshiping the Lord and believing for great things together. And let me just say this too. I want to throw this out. I mentioned this last week, and some of you may not have heard this that maybe missed last week, and that is that there is a worship, a prayer guide, I should say, that we have made available to you. This is also on that same site. Go to crosspointworshipcenter.com/21days, and there you will see a link that you can download this prayer guide. You can actually just use it right there online. If you'd like to print out, you can do that. Just a great resource of different types of prayers in this guide. There's the Lord's Prayer. We're actually going to be talking about that today. The Tabernacle Prayer, Warfare Prayer. Just great resource of scripture, encouragement, and the tool that you can use. So I want to encourage you to definitely use that. We had a great time here yesterday, and at the end of that time, we actually went out. We put some legs to our prayers. We just went out in our community, just handing out water and some popsicles. You know, we threw some popsicles in. That always helps on a hot day. And just went around and through our community and through some of the area around us, just sharing some love, you know, nothing complicated. And it was just a great time of connecting with people and just and seeing the reaction. That's what I love. They go, wow, that was really nice. You hear the people talking as you're walking away. That was so nice. That was so nice. You know, we live in a world that needs the church. You know that, don't you? We live in a world that needs some love. And so we are going to have more and more opportunities like that just to connect as a church with our community. Let me just get right into this third part of our series that we have entitled Teach Us to Pray. And let me say this, and that is that the church is built on prayer. In fact, our life is built by prayer. That's how we begin our relationship with God. It begins through this avenue that God's given to us called prayer. We know that even the early church was birthed through prayer. They were in the upper room for many days in prayer and in worship constantly before God, and the church was birthed through that time of prayer. Jesus' ministry was birthed through his public ministry began with prayer, was birthed through prayer. And you see throughout Jesus' ministry, there was a rhythm that Jesus had between public ministry and prayer. It's been said that all revival begins with prayer. And so we understand that prayer is extremely important. And I believe this. I believe that all answers are found in this place of prayer. I believe our church is here today because of prayer. The church that you're in this morning was launched through this thing called prayer. We're actually in this building because of prayer. We found out we ran into an obstacle trying to get in this building. And so we actually took the beginning of the year before we got in this building, and we did a 40-day fast because we were having some problems with this building. We couldn't get in it. We had a contractor that did us wrong. That's a story I don't want to go into again, but it was just a nightmare. And when nothing else would move, we set aside, we did a 40-day fast, y'all. I've never done one of those before. And I'm telling you, we got serious before God, but then it was at the end of that that God laid on my heart what a true fast was based out of Isaiah 58. We went over into a community near us and began to minister to the community, just kind of like what we did yesterday. We took it up a notch. We threw in some food there and stuff and just loved on them. And when that happened, let me tell you something. Everything began to break. Everything began to move because of what we did with prayer and then also prayer and action. We took action to our prayers. I want to tell you today that as we continue as a church, prayer is the key to everything. It is the power center. It is the power room. It is the electricity that runs everything. If we can have all the lights around here. We can have all, you know, the phenomenal preaching you want to hear. It got one amen. Thank you very much. You can have all this stuff, but it doesn't mean a thing without prayer, right? And unless God's in it, unless his Spirit's on it, we're not good enough, okay? There's nothing we can do to get the job done. But prayer is this powerful tool that God uses. And in fact, several years ago, I've shared this with you at times, but several years ago, I'm not one of these mysterious people that see, stuff flying through the room all the time, but I just happened to hit my knees in prayer, and when I knelt to pray, I just saw something. You can call it a vision, call it whatever. But I saw this, and it was a storm coming on our church, and it was just blowing from that direction, this direction, and it was blowing over the steeple that we used to have over there in that little kids' church. It was our church at the time. This wasn't even built yet, and it got dark, and I thought, God, the church, we're going to be destroyed. And as I saw that, what I saw was we were in this church, and we were in the church next door, and we were praying. And as we prayed, there came this hand down through those clouds towards the church, and it looked like the top of the church just exploded. And when that happened, from this side to that side, it was like a scroll just rolled, and all the gray was and all it was being replaced by was blue skies, y'all. I'm just telling you what I saw. But I felt like God was laying on my heart, look, this church is going to be built by prayer. And you're going to go through some storms. There's going to be some things that are going to hit your church. And guess what? There's going to be some things that hit your life. And if we don't know how to pray, we're in trouble. We need to learn how to pray. And so this series is about, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so we know this. It's not by might nor by power, Zechariah 4:6 says, but by my Spirit that things are accomplished. In fact, James says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. A fervent prayer, a prayer that's on fire. And the disciples heard Jesus praying, and they said, man, there's something's different about when Jesus prays. There's something different. There's some power to it. In fact, I almost titled this message, The Power of Prayer. But we're going to talk about the pattern. But in this pattern, we're going to see that there is some power when we pray this pattern that Jesus gave us to pray. But the disciples, they heard Jesus pray, and they said, man, something's different. Something's different about when you pray. And that's what this part one was about. We talked about the difference. There was something different. We went through that in part one, and last week we talked about the second part of that, that your will be done. The first part is about relationship. We began with worship, and the second part we talked about your will be done, which was aligning with God's agenda. But I want us to understand that there's two, that God, first of all, God responds to prayer. God responds to prayer. And there's two things at work that we need to really understand when it comes to prayer. And that there is God's will, but then there is our will. There's God's will, but there's our will. And God has so designed us that He has given us a will to choose. He has given us a will, and He doesn't violate our will. He doesn't force His will upon us. And He has an incredible plan for our life, and His will is always best for our life, but He doesn't force that on us. He gives us a will. But it is through prayer that we align our will with His will. It was in the beginning of all of this stuff that we got messed up when Adam and Eve said, "We want what we want," in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus came, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said it straight what they messed up in the Garden of Eden, and He said, "Not my will, Father, but your will be done." And when we align ourselves with His will, we surrender our will to His will, phenomenal things can happen in our life. And so we need to pray as a church. We need to be a praying church. And the reason for that, listen, is that the world is in great need. The world is in great need. Does anybody agree with me? The world is in great need. We're in a world that is great need. And it needs the church, first of all, to align with God's will so that God, through the church, can fulfill His will in this world. And let's look at this scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 11. It says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And so that's what we're basing this series on. And so Jesus began by praying this, and by saying this to them. He said, "After this manner." And so some people, they take this Lord's Prayer that's recorded here in Matthew chapter 6 and also in Luke chapter 11, and they just pray that prayer. And that's okay to do, but what Jesus was really giving them was not just memorize this prayer and pray this, but He was actually giving them an outline for prayer. And this is it. And let's look at the record of that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So He says, first of all, you begin by acknowledging He's your Father, and hallowed be your name. Acknowledge His name. And then the next thing He says, pray, is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He goes on to say, give us today our daily bread. And so when we begin to pray for our needs, and then He goes on from there and says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And then He says, pray, the next thing you pray this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then conclude it this way, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so there were seven things, seven categories that Jesus said to pray through when you pray. And I believe this, when we pray this as Jesus gives us example to pray, it's going to mean power in our lives. So let's just break this down and look at this. And some of this repeats a little bit of part one and part two, but we're going to just lay out the whole 7 points today of this pattern of prayer. And next week we're going to talk more about how that we're going to continue on to make this a lifestyle of prayer as we continue past this 21 days. But look at the first thing He prays. He says, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. So He says, begin there, and that is that we are to connect with God relationally. And you got message notes there in your worship guide. You can fill those blanks in if you like. Connect with God relationally. So He says, call Him Father. And God wants us to connect with Him relationally. Relationally. Right? And so we need to get this. God wants a relationship with us. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. It's not about even the rules, it's about relationship. You get the relationship, rules will take care of themselves. But it's about relationship. It all begins with a relationship. And think about it. As a father, there's nothing more that I love than having a relationship with my sons. And I love just getting on the couch with them and watching football together. I mean, we're approaching football season. I'm a little hoarse today. I was already yelling yesterday for football on TV. and Florida State hadn't even started playing yet. I'm just saying. I mean, I love just hanging out with my boys, and I love it when one of them may lay his head over on my shoulder, you know, on their dad's shoulder. I mean, it's just something. I want to tell you something. That's what God wants with us. He wants a relationship with us where we're connecting with Him, where we're His sons and we're His daughters. So we begin with this relationship. Romans chapter 8 says this: "You have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves." And if you want to, you can underline that, fearful slaves. Sometimes we approach God in this fearful state. Now, I understand there's a fearfulness in the sense that we reverence Him. But here's what God, He wants to have such a relationship that it's not this standoff, distant thing that you're some God up there and I hope you hear my prayer. No, He wants to be very close to us. And it says it this way: if we've not received a Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted, just underline that word, adopted you. When He adopted you. You're not an orphan. You're part of His family now. You're His son or you're His daughter. And so when He adopted you as His own children, underline that word, children, as His own children, and now we call Him Abba Father. And so it's like we just crawl up in His lap, and that word Abba Father means daddy. It's daddy God. That's not irreverent. What it speaks to is the relationship that God desires with us. So connect with Him relationally. That's how we begin with prayer. And the second part of prayer is this. Jesus prayed, "Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name." And so we pray this. We worship His name. This point here is worship His name. And you say, well, what do you mean just worship His name? Well, what are they? Well, we look at His names and we acknowledge by looking at His names, really, who He is. And the names have power. The name has power. In fact, if you go through the growth track, we actually have some resources in the appendix growth track book we list some of the names and what they all mean. But these names, they have power. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to tell one of my sons, go tell your brother, clean your room. And he goes in there and he says, clean your room. How many knows that it's not going to get cleaned? But if he goes in there and instead I say, tell him daddy said. You go in there and tell him, dad said, clean your room. And he goes in there and he says, dad said, clean your room. How many knows it's got a little more weight to it when dad said, well, dad said, clean your room. Of course, it still may not, I'm just saying, but hopefully it has a little more weight. When I tell you the name of God, when we speak the name of God, it has power to it. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 says this: God's name is a place of protection. The righteous can run there and be safe. So when we pray, we're going to pray God's names. And that's what Jesus is saying. Acknowledge His name and who He is. And let me just give you some names of God. If you'll look with me here, look at this for just a moment. So we're praying, and we're praying, Lord God, You're my righteousness. Today I just acknowledge that You are my righteousness, that it's not what I've done or what I haven't done, God. It's not about my holiness. It's about Your holiness and what You've done. You cover me, and I'm now righteous because of Your righteousness. And then we pray, God, You're my sanctifier. You're the one that purifies me. You're the one that sets me apart. I'm not part of this world. I'm Your son. I'm Your daughter today. This is the way we need to pray every day in this prayer. We need to acknowledge, God, You're my healer today. The great physician, everybody, has not closed up shop. You're my healer. God, I know that You're heal me, and whatever I go through, God, You got me covered. You're my healer. And we pray, God, You're my banner of victory over me. I'm not going to have defeat today because You are my victory today. You watch over me to protect me. You're my shepherd. I have no want. Whatever I need is according to Your supply today. God, You're my peace. The world's in turmoil. I may be going into a place of turmoil when I go into work today, but God, You're my peace. You're my peace speaker. You're the one that speaks peace in the midst of the storm. God, You're my provider. I may have some financial needs in my life, but God, I know that You're my source. You're my provider. You're my supplier. You're going to meet all my needs according to Your riches in heaven. And another name is that He's there. And God says, I'm there wherever You are. you are. God, I know that you're with me. You're the great I am. You're the one that wherever I am, there you are. You're God Emmanuel. You're with me. And when I get there, you're going to be there when I'm there. And that's, come on, I'm just talking about praying that kind of fervent prayer. I'm just kind of giving you an example of that. Listen, every day, that's the way we need to pray. Pray the names of God and worship Him and acknowledge who He is, that He is with us. See, sometimes we just focus on ourselves. We look in the mirror and say, God, I don't have what it takes. And we just feel sorry for ourselves. And prayer just turns into a pity party. But listen, we need to make our prayer focused on who we're praying to and that He's for us and He's with us, and pray His names. Third thing, let's look at this. Pray His agenda first. And that is this. So let me back up. Let me give you that scripture there. And that is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says to pray, your kingdom come. And so then he's praying this. That is, pray His agenda first. And so, in relationships that matter, listen to this. Your focus is always on the other person's agenda first, ahead of yourself, right? And so, God, get this, God has a prayer list. Oftentimes, we come to Him with our prayer list, but did you know God has a prayer list? God has things on His list. God has an agenda that He wants to do. God has some matters that He wants to see taken care of today. And I can just tell you, the whole list can be summed up in this one word, and that word is others. God's concerned about others. He's concerned about His lost kids. He's concerned about others. Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw the needs of others, right? And so we pray His agenda. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So seek first His kingdom. Let me give you a scripture that is actually not in your notes here, from Luke chapter 12. That says, He will always give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern. I've often said it this way. You take care of God's business and God will take care of your business. Oftentimes we just spend all our time taking care of our business. Take care of what matters most. And the Bible teaches us basically that all these other things are going to chase you down, right? They're going to follow after you. God's going to take care of you. He's got you when you take care of those things that matter. So every day we need to be praying His agenda, and that's about others. So we began by praying for our country. We began by praying for our president. We began by praying for our leaders. We began for praying for our governor of our state. And then we move, and as a pastor, I pray for the church. God bless our church families. God bless individuals in our church. Bless their children. Bless their finances. Bless their home. Bless them and help them with what they're going through. And so we begin to just pray for others, and then we pray for us, right? Then we begin to pray for us and our own needs, but we pray for others first. Look at the fourth thing, and that is that give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so every day, don't just pray when you're in trouble. Oftentimes we just come to God, we depend on Him when we need, when we have to, when we're desperate, when we got to depend on Him and something goes wrong, something breaks, and He's like the great, you know, mechanic in the sky. We run to Him because it's broke. Now, God, please help me. Let me tell you something. We need to depend upon Him every day and pray as if it's already broken, right? In other words, pray for what you need, even when you don't need it, as if you don't have it. And it communicates to God this, and that is that everything I have is because you supply everything I need. So we're praying for God to bless everything, not just when it's in trouble. Lord, I pray your blessings upon our church. God, I pray your blessings upon my family. Lord, I pray your blessings upon our finances. God, I pray for our health, Lord, that you would keep us healthy. God, I pray for, Lord, emotional health and mental health. And come on, I pray for spiritual health, God, and spiritual growth. And so we depend upon Him for everything. And that is that point, this point is depend on Him for everything in our life, everything. And so we don't need to approach God with, God, well, I can handle this. I'll give you the hard stuff, but I can handle this other stuff. No, we need to include God in everything. God wants to be included in everything. One of the problems I have with my kids sometimes is this thing called secrecy. And you say, well, kids deserve their privacy. No, they don't. No, not in my house. I'm sorry. I don't know what you think of me on that one, but I'm going to be up in your business because I'm your parent and I care about you, because somebody's going to be pouring in your life and it might as well be me. All right? And so this privacy thing, this seclusion thing, this isolating yourself and not letting me know what's going on, oh, no, no. We're going to have a relationship. I want you to be transparent with me. I want to know what's going on in your life because I care about you, because I love you, right? Because when we isolate, we get off alone and whatever and do our own thing and there's privacy, that's where the enemy comes in, where there's secrets. Listen, if you're the only one that knows your secrets, you're in trouble. That's why you need to be in relationship with somebody. That's why we need small groups, so you can get closer to somebody, you can confide in somebody and pray for one another, encourage one another, right? Well, the same thing goes with God. God wants to be in on everything. Now, he already knows everything, but he wants us to open up and to be able to share our life with him and depend on him in every area of our life. Psalm 121 says this, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let me explain that to you, because sometimes we misinterpret that. It's not that we look to the mountains, our help is in the mountains. Some people think God's just in the mountains. We look to the mountains. That's where he is. He's in the mountains. We're going to pray to the mountains. But really what it's saying there is that, listen, the seat of government for Israel was in the mountains. It was an elevated place. And we're going to not just look to Capitol Hill. Are y'all getting this? We're not just going to look to Capitol Hill. We're going to look beyond the hill, because the Lord who made heaven and earth, who owns the mountain and the valleys and the cattle on the side of the hill and all the taters in the side of the hill, some preacher said. Come on, he owns it all. Look, we're going to look to him as our source. Can I get a good amen right there? All right. And so we need to depend on him for everything. Look at point number 5. He says, goes on to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we're saying, God, I need you to forgive me, but I need to actively forgive others as well. So there's two parts to that there. And that is to get your heart right. This is your point here. Get your heart right with God and people. With God and people. And so we need to pray this kind of prayer. Lord, don't let me be so desensitized to sin. Search my heart. Holy Spirit, come today, search my heart. Show me the things that where I'm wrong, where I've sinned, where I've blown it. Put your finger on it so I can repent of it right here and right now. And that's what he oftentimes does. Boom, boom, boom. He hits you right where you live. And that's what our prayer needs to be. God, search my heart and point it out. But then also, get this, we need to forgive others. We need to forgive those who have offended us. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Give it to God. Let God have it. Let him take care of it. And we just forgive everybody. In fact, this is what was really a good habit to do. Forgive them ahead of time. Ahead of time. So before you start your day, Lord, I know they're going to offend me today, so before they offend me, before the offense comes, before the wrong comes, I'm going to forgive them ahead of time. I'm going to be set on forgiveness. My heart is set on forgiveness. that illustration pops in my mind, again, of Dr. Youngi Cho, pastors the largest church in the world, probably in Seoul, Korea, and he says every day, he says, I ask God to help me forgive everyone. And he said, I have to pray a lot, he said, because I hate so many people. And this was a pastor. Lord. He said, but God, help me to forgive. I forgive so many people every day because I hate so many people. Let me tell you, that's the carnal part of it. But we need to set ourselves where this state of forgiveness, where we forgive people, because people are going to do you wrong. It's going to happen. Say, Pastor, can you be more positive? I'm positive. People are going to do you wrong. There's an agenda that the devil has to come against you, and things are going to happen, but we must forgive them every day. We must set our hearts right. And look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 that says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we pray this every day. Look at point number 6. Jesus went on to say this in his prayer, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now this we know if we take the Word of God in contrast, or rather in context, we understand that it's not God that leads us into temptation, okay? But the Greek actually, if you read it from the original translation, it actually words it this way, and that is, do not allow me to be led into temptation. In other words, today I'm going to have the chance to sin. It's going to happen. And I need you to help me to make a good decision. And so there's going to be things that come my way, and God, I need you to help lead me in a different way from that. Listen, let me put it this way. Temptation is on the agenda of the devil. And so we're praying, help me and deliver me. And so, let me put it another way. You have an enemy that oftentimes is working harder to destroy your life than you are to prevent it from happening. And so if you're not fighting that every day, he's working harder than you are. And I know that sounds a little mystical, but here's your point here on this point number six, and that is to engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. Well, that sounds real mystical. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, that sounds really, that sounds like sci-fi, right? I mean, it's like, whoa, is that way out there? You're scaring me, Pastor. Let me tell you something. Whether we believe it or not, every day there is an attack happening, and there is a spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And so we have to pray this. We have to bind the attack off of our life. So every day we need to be praying, God, free me, free me from these things, God, and help me not to be enslaved to things that may happen around me. And we need to be praying this for, as a pastor, here's what I need to be praying, and that is pray as for the church. I'm praying for you every day. Free them from addiction. Free them from immorality. God, we come against the attacks of the marriages that are against marriages, and we pray a protection around our kids every day, and we pray no breaching be in the wall, and that they're not going into captivity, and we bless their coming in and their going out, both now and forever. And so we fight the devil every day. We declare warfare against the enemy. Does that make any sense? I mean, we need to fight for our families. In fact, Nehemiah chapter 4 says, fight for your families. And I just get a little bit irritated at times with parents that just, Lord, just let them choose their own way. Let the kids do whatever they want to do. Let them be a free spirit and float wherever they want to float and do whatever they want to do. And I just feel like screaming 1,000 times, no, no, no. I heard a phenomenal pastor this week. Actually, it was, if anybody knows Jensen Franklin, he pastors down in Georgia, and it was just a little excerpt of a minute, and I don't know what you think about his ministry or whatever, it doesn't matter, but it was just a minute of this profound statement of saying that we need to give our kids roots and wings. We need to give them roots where it grows deep, where they're planted in the house of God. And he said, I cannot overestimate the importance of having your kids in church every week. It's a part of what you do. It's not a hit or miss, but it's there. It's important. They're there. They're growing. They're being nurtured. They're growing up in the church. They need those connections. They need a connection with God, but they need a connection with others. They need a connection with his family of faith. It's important. And can I tell you, people say, well, it's not important to my kids. Let me tell you, what's important to you as a parent will be important to your kids. I'm preaching better than you're responding today. What's important to you will be important to your kids. I'm preaching this because I care about you. I care about your family, and I care about your children, right? So we need to be making that a priority. And the parents set the tone for the house. I don't care what you say. You say kids rule the house. No, the parents rule the house, because those kids, they look at you every day, and what is important to you will be important to them. And I'm sorry, forgive me. You can do it however you choose to do it. But for me, I'm just a little old-fashioned. And for me, look, it was never a question, are we going to church today? I mean, it's just what we did. And you say, well, that was just a religious ritual that you ran. No, it was a priority in our life that God is first, and we're going to serve him. We're going to be in his house, taking care of his business. And when we take care of his business, he's going to take care of our business. All right? Is this okay? Well, thank you. Two of you, three of you like it. All right, I'm just saying. Folks, it's important. It's important. So fight for your families every day, every day. And this spiritual warfare doesn't have to be this. It's not an exorcist where you got to spend 3 hours or a movie-long event of trying to get rid of the devil in your house. Folks, it can just be wrapped up in one phrase that you pray every day, guys, that you just declare the word of God over your family and over your life, and you make it a priority. We're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to bow to the devil. Come on, right? All right, good stuff. All right, number seven, let me conclude with this. Jesus then concludes it this way. He says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And so that seventh point is this, and that is express faith in God's ability. In God's ability. It's not about us. Everything that happens is because of you, O Lord. It's all about you. I love Jeremiah chapter 32 that says this, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Great is your power. Your great power and outstretched arm. And then it says, "Nothing is too hard for you, Lord." And we need to approach everything that we approach every day with that attitude and that understanding that there is nothing too hard for you. And I love concluding a prayer this way also. It's found in Revelation chapter 5 that says this, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and forever." Let me give you this point, and that is that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Oftentimes it's, "Lord, when we're in trouble, and then we come running to you." No, it should be our first response. That means in everything that we do, we need to pray first. Pray first. I've got a little band around my arm that simply says, "Pray first." I'm going to get you, when we do go through this again, we're going to get you all some bands like this and just distribute them so you can be reminded. Pray first. Pray first. That means before that meeting when that person is about to come into your office and the secretary says somebody's there here to see you, you say, "Okay, just a minute, hold them up for 30 seconds. Just give me 30 seconds. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this meeting. God, bless me with wisdom and discernment. Help me to do the right thing today. God, help me make a lot of money in Jesus' name. Amen." All right, send them in. Come on, you know. I mean, before we open up that email, or better yet, before we send that email, you better be praying over that thing before you hit the send button. "God, let this be received right in Jesus' name." You know, before you tweet that message, "Oh, come on, let me hit somebody where it can't, hurts." Before you Facebook all your business out there to everybody, come on, and do all the yang-yang on everybody, be praying over it in Jesus' name, and you may not be sending so much garbage out there. Oh, that, I'm not going to get any response on that one. But anyway, come on. But I'm saying, pray first. Pray first before your kids go out the door. You know, "God, bless them in Jesus." "Hey, you're about to leave. Come on. Hey, God bless them. Make them a leader today. God be with them. Protect them. Jesus, amen. God bless you. Have a great day." I mean, pray first. Everything we do, pray first. Before we sing songs, we pray first. Everything we do right here, we're going to pray first. And I want to tell you, it should be our first response, not our last resort. Here's what happens. Let me just share with you from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and then we'll close. Powerful scripture about prayer. God says this in verse 13. He says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." In other words, when you're suffering from a drought, back it up just a little bit. When you're suffering from a drought, and there's no rain, and it's barren, and you're dry, and it's cold, and it's stale, and it's hard, and it's difficult, when there's locusts that's coming, that represents just loss. You've suffered loss. You're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You're not advancing, you're retreating. When things have hit you, and whether it's financial or physical or whatever that looks like, and you're suffering those things that have come in and devoured the land, or there's a plague and you're suffering from sickness, and maybe it's a result of your sins, maybe directly or indirectly, but it's a result of this things that you live in or whatever's happening around you. When all that's happening around you, look what he says. And he puts this word up next verse, says, if, and I think that word "if" is almost just like if they would. Because here's the thing, God wants to bless you, but there's your will there. It's not that you've got to talk him into doing good things for you. He already wants to. He's got it ready. All he's waiting for is you to line your will up to him, and that's what prayer does. It opens that up, and God says, okay, thank you. I'm glad we're in agreement now. Now I can pour this, I can do these things in your life. And he says, if my people who are called by my name, so that's actually church folk, right, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here's another part. Not enough just to pray, but turn from their wicked ways. That means that we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're not just saying words, but it's relational. We're turning from our way to his way, our will to his will. Turn from their wicked ways. Then, look what happens. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I'll heal their land. When we respond in prayer to him, and say, God, we need you. We cry out to him. You know, one of the greatest prayers, and we just went through a pattern of prayer, but one of the greatest prayers of sincerity is simply, help, help. When we cry to him, he hears us. Would you just bow your heads with us for just a moment? And let me just say this, that perhaps your prayer today is that. Maybe it's help. Just help me, God. Help. I don't know what kind of help that means, but it's just help, Lord. I just need you today. And you recognize today that you just need him. I'll tell you where it begins. It begins by praying, as Jesus said, our Father. It begins with a relationship. And here's the thing. One scripture tells us that Jesus came to destroy the barrier that is between you and God. And so if God seems far away, really, that's what salvation is. It's when we come close. And that only happens when Jesus comes in and he removes the barrier, and then you and God are close again. So the only condition there for us to receive that is just by surrendering our life to him, by receiving what Jesus did on the cross. And that may be you here today. You may feel like you're not where you need to be with him. Maybe you may have been close at one time, but that's no longer the case, and you need to come back to him. Maybe you're coming to him for the first time. It really doesn't matter. All I know is that God is in the business of drawing his children close to him. He wants you in a close relationship with him. And if that's you today, you say, I need that close relationship. I want to help you with that, and I want to help lead you in a prayer, not to pray a magical prayer of just words that a preacher tells you to pray. But if you'll pray this prayer in sincerity from your heart and faith, I'm just going to help you with the words. This is all about, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm just helping with that. I want to lead you with that. But that's you today and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to be close to God. I need to be close to God today. Would you just slip up a hand? Nobody looking. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer, who I'm leading in prayer. Would you just slip up a hand and put it right back down where you're sitting? Bless you too. God bless you. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to help you with some of the words. And from your heart, God's going to bring you into a close relationship with him right now. In fact, that's just what salvation is. It's coming close to God. It's turning from ourselves, accepting his gift of having a relationship with him. And everything begins to change. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Whether you lifted your hand or didn't, you lift your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer. Just whisper this from your heart to God right now. Just pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I thank you for making a way for me to be in close relationship with you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for taking care of all of my sins so that I can be set free from it. Right now, I open my heart to you. I turn from my way and my will, and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. today I follow you. Thank you for dying for my sins, which I turn from right now. I accept your forgiveness. Thank you for coming in right now. I accept you and I declare you as Lord and Savior of my life. Say this: I give you my life, and I will follow you as you enable me to do so all the days of my life.